So you can't hear what he's doing right now.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 25th, episode 1437, brought to you by our listeners, the auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Oh my goodness. Good morning, everybody. I am fresh off a major buzz, and it's called The Voice. That's right. It ended last night, ladies and gentlemen. And spoiler alert, turn your radios down. It was Allison Porter. Yay! So congratulations. You have no idea.
Was
what
that the one?
About,
yeah, no idea. But was that the one you wanted to win?
I just knew she was going to win. She was so good. All of them were amazing, but she was really, really, really talented. She actually played the, I don't know. I mean, I never saw the movie, but she was in that little movie called Curly Sue. She was the little girl in Curly Sue. And
yeah, no idea.
So she, yeah, it was a John Belushi little girl movie. Curly Sue, and she played this, I don't know, this perky little girl. Anyway, so she was the big winner, and so there you go. That's
who was the guy with the big bushy
night.
Beard? Looked like he was straight out of the mountains of Tennessee.
He was so good. That dude could shred on a guitar. His name was Laith Alzari, and he was unbelievable on guitar. And that was what was great, is he got to play a lot of guitar. And, you know, waxing poetic about the way music has changed, God, I miss a guitar solo in the middle of a song. So
yeah, they
it
don't
was,
do that any.
I know.
What was that called? That segment in the middle that was all just the instruments. That had a name. What
it's
was it?
Called, well, the bridge is what it's called, and it's just. I was listening to some classic Aerosmith, and just like, oh my gosh, just waxing poetic.
Well,
about
Aerosmith had more of a bridge than a song. I mean, it was just.
Yeah, exactly. They just
it was all bridge with a couple words on either end.
In the day of guitar solos, that was it. And you just don't hear those anymore. So every one of his songs, the dude would just shred a guitar. And his coach was Adam. So it made sense because Adam's a musician, too, a guitar player and drummer. So
when did the bridge go away?
They do techno bridges now.
Yeah, exactly.
now it's like some sort of, I don't know, but it was really, he was really, really good. All of them were really good. So, but she was just better than everybody. So that's how it
happens.
And
who was her coach?
Her coach was Christina. So it was the first female voice winner.
Ah.
Yeah. Gotcha. First female coach to win. And I think Christina was more excited than
the girl
Allison was, yeah. She was like,
she could
what?
Finally get one up at her fellow judges this year.
Exactly. So it was that's my guilty pleasure. That is just, that show is the one that I watch when I put the kid to bed. Chad's gone, you know. I'm like,
you used
okay,
to be dancing with the
voice.
Stars, but then you converted years ago. You gave up on dancing, I think.
Well, I told my I was only watch Dancing with the Stars so I could have phone conversations with my mother, and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. It's just
I think that
dancing.
Ended last week too, and somebody won.
I'm sure somebody won. I can Google it if you want.
Oh, God, so that was anyway, years ago we talked about Dancing with the Stars.
I know. I know, but that was the last time I talked to my mom about it too. It was years ago. And she, you know, I'm like, you have to start watching The Voice. I can't keep up all these reality shows. It's too much. And I can,
I know.
I can,
and then you have to watch Housewives of Atlanta and
can't do it. Can't do it. Yeah. Just don't care. I just don't care. And I feel like that show just makes Atlanta look terrible. So I told my mom, I'm like, I can sell The Voice to the husband, but I cannot sell Dancing with the Stars. So,
you know, if you stayed in Atlanta, married some rich guy, still worked on radio, you could probably be on Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh my gosh, that could be me. Wow.
You could have the puffed up lips and the whole thing.
What could have been. Decisions you make in life. That's right. You never know. So anyway, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, it's a horse health bonanza as haggard equine Dr. Wittich answers a listener question about hock injections. And then world champion mounted shooter Tammy Sarantz is going to share her experience dealing with a keratoma tumor. Ew, yuck alert, people. And in the third half of the show, the Velvet Voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, stops by, and she's got all of the horsey headlines from across the pond. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. It is time for our Daily Winnies. Well, my Daily Winnie is on behalf of Robin Donaghy, one of our auditors. She wants to give a Daily Winnie out to her six-year-old daughter who tried to do a Jamie, fell off her horse, and broke her arm. Now
she's trying to be awesome.
Yeah, that's correct. She wanted to be one of the cool kids with the cast, and she succeeded in that, apparently.
Oh, no.
So, but Robin said she was so proud because she barely cried. She's so tough. Horse mama was so proud of her horse girl breaking her arm and not crying. So there you go. So we wish our best to her, and apparently she's wearing it with pride.
I'm going to give the Daily Winnie to Robin because that's the woman who had to go sit in the ER for 9 hours waiting on the doctor to tell her, oh, yeah, he broke her arm, and then another 9 hours to wait until you get the cast on. So good job, Mom.
Yeah, that's probably about right, too. All right, your turn.
I got an amazing message from a listener named Alexandra Ireland, and I just wanted to give her a Daily Winnie. She is a reformed hunter jumper. She was a hunter jumper and decided that she wanted to try the sport, dip her toe in the sport of eventing, and decided that she was going to try to kind of make a change in her life. And she saw an ad online. I guess it was online, and it was a person that was looking for a working student. And so she answered the ad of B and Derek DeGrazia and got the job. She went in. I think the job interview was actually you rode during the job interview. So congratulations to her. And she said she was really nervous, but B came up and gave her a big hug, put her to ease. She said she spent the whole day in upper level eventing wonderland, and the whole team made her feel like family. And of course, Derek DeGrazia is a course designer of Rolex. I mean, he's amazing. So congratulations to her. You are going to have quite the adventure ahead of you.
And what Jamie didn't say in that, because she's too modest to say it, is that she did all of that because of you. She said, Jamie, you have such a wonderful attitude I could relate to. You constantly make me laugh. I needed this in my life, so I pulled up my big girl breeches and decided I needed a change.
Oh, well.
So you left out that part. So, and you know what? Alexandra also yesterday became an auditor, and we want to thank her. Yeah, she's
two
in the
feet,
group.
Jumped right in. Let's do it.
She went in all venting and becoming an auditor. So we thank her for that. Also, we have several new auditors. Tyler just sent us a message this morning, actually on our Facebook page. And it's a guy. His name is Tyler Gilman. We don't have a lot of guy auditors, so we cherish everyone we do have. He said, hey, Jamie, Glenn, and Jen, I just wanted to thank you guys for your show. I signed up last night to be an auditor. The shows have been great to listen to and really helpful for a horse husband in training. I just started riding after I started dating a girl that has been riding most of her life, and I love it.
You're in.
So welcome, Tyler, to the group. Susanna Asprey, welcome to the group. And Audra Olson, all have become auditors. So we're glad that you're all part of the group. And then I also wanted to give we can officially congratulate Danielle Scott right now, who you heard on the show when Jamie and I were on last Friday. She was getting married on Saturday, and apparently it all went off without a hitch. I posted a beautiful picture of her and her horse, her and her bride's gown and her horse, and they had the wedding actually in a barn. It was really cool pictures. And the only question I have for her is, why in the hell is she still posting on the auditor page? She's on her honeymoon at Disney World and she's posting on the auditor page. Okay.
Do you know why? Because she's in 4-hour lines to ride a ride. And she's okay,
that's
time.
True. That's true. I didn't think about that, but you got me on that one. So congratulations to them. I'm sure they're having a good time on their honeymoon.
I just want to just maybe throw out, because we weren't on Monday, that the Preakness was on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. They ran a race and
there was some horse race on Saturday.
Nobody won the $25 gift certificate at Horse Lovers.
That's the most important part.
Yeah,
is that
because everybody picked Nyquist to win. Oops.
Bless his heart. And so those who have been following Nyquist in the news, he has a fever. And now he's not going to go to Belmont because he has a fever.
Do you think he really has a fever?
I think he had a fever before the race, which is why he didn't win that or the jockey. You know what? Go ahead.
I think the jockey took him out a little fast. Just saying.
Yeah. You think? but I did read a quote from Doug O'Neill, the trainer, saying that that's what they told him to do. So he took all fault for it. But you said that I'm not going to Mike Smith him. He's not
I don't think he really said that, did he?
Doug O'Neill said it, so I'm not going to Mike Smith the guy. But yeah, it was ridiculous. Come on. Rate the horse, for God's sake. You've got a clock in your head. That's what you do. You're supposed to be the guy who's on the horse going, oh, wow, this is really, really fast. I should probably slow him down. But again, let me show you guys what a good jockey I am.
And it was sloppy too, wasn't it? It was really sloppy.
It was terrible. Yeah. But I mean, so congratulations to Exaggerator.
Now, Exaggerator, we all had Exaggerator to be in the top three. I mean, we all had Exaggerator to be in the top three. I think everybody that took a guess had Exaggerator in there somewhere.
Well, that doesn't pay very much.
No, it didn't pay very much. Actually, I think the trifecta paid like $50. I mean, it was not a big day for women.
No, it was not. Hey, and another horsey racehorse news in good form is Commanding Curve, who came in second. Let's see what he was in the Derby, and he came in second to California Chrome. His name is Commanding Curve, and he's a gelding, and he is owned by a large conglomerate of people. And he ended up, I think he only started 16 times, but won over $600,000. And he's 5 years old, and it's like he came in ninth in an allowance race on May 7th. And they're like, I think he's done. I think we should retire him. So they retire him. What do? They're going to send him to Philip Dutton. Are you freaking kidding me? That's so amazing. We're going to see Commanding Curve out on the event course. That's awesome.
There you go. Didn't he just become, wasn't that the story was that the horse he just became syndicated? He bought a share of?
I don't.
Well, the initial reports said that Philip Dutton had become part owner.
Yeah, right. That was last week.
They had made that announcement actually on Preakness Day, and that's all it said. It was just a very vague report. So I guess part of the deal was when he went to Phillips for training, I guess he gets to be part owner in horse too. But golly, we'll have to get Philip on here to talk about it.
Yeah, just call Philip. Yeah, get him on the phone. Yeah.
Just give him a call. I'm sure he's not busy.
I know you're not busy right now. Do you have a second?
What's going on with this?
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit.
What's the real story?
I think it's awesome. I'm super excited.
Now, you did some fun stuff over the weekend. You went to a jumping clinic with some Mustangs. How'd that go?
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. This girl, Amanda, she used to live here in Phoenix, and she's actually a former student, the irony. of it. She's a former student of B and Derek DeGrazia. And she lived here for a while, and I took lessons from her a couple years ago, but then she moved up to Northern California. She decided to, like, you know, go to law school, get a real job, you know, make money in the horse and be able to spend it on your horse. So she's so amazing. And so we flew her back in for a clinic, and pretty much every one of my students rode with her over the weekend. And it was a great, great clinic and great environment and super fun. It was we held it down the street at one of the bigger facilities, 'cause I don't have enough room here. And we just had an absolute blast. So I took the Mustangs, and, you know, my riding with them has been sporadic at best. You know, if I can get on Thor for 20 minutes because Chad's been gone so much, it's a blessing, you know? And so I'm like, well, let's just take him to a clinic and see what happens. So I took Zeus on Saturday, and, you know, she's like, what does this horse do? And I'm like, he kind of walk, trot, canters, and jumps cross rails. That's pretty much it. But he doesn't have a lot of experience with any of it. So we popped him through a bunch of gymnastics, and she really liked him. She's like, you know, I told her, I said, his goal is either that he's going to be a lesson horse, he's going to be a kid show horse, or he's going to be mine. Let's be real. He's going to be mine.
Yeah. So is there any question about any of your horses being yours?
And so she really liked him. She said that there's no reason that he shouldn't be able to do that job. And she was fairly confident. And then on Sunday, I rode Thor. And, you know, I just told her, I said, he is a one-man wrecking crew. He jumps super cute with his front end, and his hind end just goes straight through the jumps. So we worked on getting a quality kind of show jump canter, a bouncy canter, and popped him through a bunch of gymnastics. And she had a lot of placement poles, and those, like when you put the poles in an arrow towards the actual jump and you lay them on the jump. Jennifer, what are those called? I can never remember.
Jennifer, you're on mute, I think.
You mean the one where one end of the rail is actually on the top of the jump near the standard and the other end of the rail is on the ground?
No, this is more like the rails are, they go from the ground up into a V point on the V poles, basically, to get him to think about jumping up a little bit more. Oh,
you put sides on it.
Basically, wings.
You know, I don't know what you call those.
I don't either. Well,
to tell you the truth, I don't.
She put those down, and we had some placement poles on the ground and got him thinking a little bit quicker, and it worked brilliantly, and he was just jumping fantastic, and I couldn't have been more thrilled. And she did say, she's like, listen, he's a Mustang. He's not really built for this. He's not bred for this. But don't let that make him his excuse for not doing it. He can do it.
He's not built for it. He's not bred for it. But damn it, he should do it.
He should do it. And I did love that statement from her, because it's very true. You know, she's like, don't make that his excuse. And I was like, well, I'm not making it his excuse. We're out here. And
he's making it his excuse.
It's his excuse. I said, why? Oh, I'm not just a Mustang. I don't have to pick up her. She's like, no, he can absolutely do this stuff. So keep him going at it and let him do it. And he was jumping super cute. And so I'll post, there's like a little video clip of him jumping a placement pole and then a big oxer. I mean, we got it up to like 2.93 feet, and he's just cruising over it like no big deal. I was so proud.
He was picking his back feet up too. I was very impressed.
Well, it was all like, get the quality of the canter, get him moving, get him thinking, get him going. And once he did, once he realized kind of what he was supposed to do, that and those poles are a little harder than mine. So the first time through, we kind of crushed him. But then again, he didn't think about it. So, you know, for those who think that would you have to teach a horse to jump by wrapping him on the legs, you don't. You just run them through it and they figure it out. And I just couldn't have been more proud of him. And I came home and just gave him a million carrots. I just love him so much. You know, and she's like, well, what is your goal with this one? I was like, whatever he wants to do, he's mine forever. It's just no going anywhere.
Which means no goal. He'll tell me, which is right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you kind of have to do with Mustangs, isn't it? They kind of tell you what they want to do.
Yeah, but you know, as I said, my life goal with him is to take a Mustang and run him novice. And So I think I'm going to try in July. There's a horse trail about 3 hours away from here, and I think that'd be a fun one.
By the way, he's looking really good.
Thank you.
You know, as far as he's just the right weight, he looks good.
Yeah, thank you. We work hard on all of that, and I've got great supplements and great feeds and great every. I actually switched my feed, just so you know. I used to be one feed, and you guys, if you've listened to the shows earlier, you knew that was always what I used. But now I've switched to another feed, and I am thrilled with how my horses look. Every single one of them. I'm a Nutrina girl now, and I am just thrilled with how these horses look. They're all shiny. Their ribs are gone. I just am in love with this new feed. I even switched Duke and Chili over to the senior feed, and they look great. I just couldn't be happier. My horsey life is going really well. Yay.
Yay.
Well, she said, you know, the owner of Edward, the little girl who owns Edward, rode in the clinic too. And Amanda was like, why? I taught you on Edward last year. I didn't know you were going to sell him. And so I'm like, oh, well, I didn't mean to sell him. But then I told her the story of Norman. I'm like, I bought this horse, a thoroughbred that was going to be my big horse. And I was so thrilled and I was in love, and it was going to be my prelim intermediate horse. And, you know, and I kind of told her of how disappointing it was when he had the condition. And I just said, that's it. I'm getting another Mustang. And so I actually started crying talking about Norman. And I think I still have some like deep seated emotional problems with how that worked out. I think I did it all kind of with a smile on my face, and I really don't feel that way. So she was like, okay, oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I asked.
I'm uncomfortable.
She's going, I'm never going to ask about a previous horse again.
Why did you sell him? Let me tell you why. Because he was great. So anyway, it was a really fun weekend, and it was great. Now, I did see that you did not have a horsey weekend.
No, we were at the beach with family, so that was kind of fun. And I did a dinner. I was a special guest at a dinner for a bunch of podcasting guys on Saturday night. So we had a good weekend without the horses, actually, this weekend.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it's nice to get a little break.
I taught Scooter and Nigel to play soccer.
Yes. I don't know if everybody saw the Scooter video of him kicking the ball around, but he was having fun with that.
Jennifer, are you doing clicker training with them?
Yes. We have done clicker training with Scooter since way back, and we actually started it out because he was so mouthy. It was a way to teach him to not mug you for food. Like, okay, if you want any food, you're going to have to back off, dude. And that was highly successful. So I only do it with him maybe once a month, and I just basically do it for hoots and giggles, and because he really, really loves doing it. For about a week after we do that, he's like, are you here? Yeah. Yes.
When you are clicker training a mouthy horse, doesn't giving him treats make him more mouthy, or no? Is it teaching him not to?
What we teach him is the only way you can get a reward is if you do a behavior, and the behavior is stay away from me.
Gotcha.
And in his case, it's very simple. He just has to take a step back and turn his head. Now, people like Mary Kitzmiller can make him do all sorts of fancy things, but I'm just not that good at it. Frankly, Scooter's a better trainer than I am. And with Nigel, I tried to do that because he doesn't quite trust me as the leader when I'm on his back. He's really pretty good on the ground. When I'm on his back, he'll forget that. Kind of like when a scary donkey comes by, he forgets that I'm the leader. So I'm trying to get him to do things that he might find intimidating or uncomfortable on the ground, because he doesn't like horses chasing him. He's a little timid. Well, if he can chase a ball, that's not something that would occur to him normally. He wouldn't chase anything.
Gotcha.
So I started down that road to get him to try and push something around so he can feel a little bit more powerful. And I'm empowering him. So he's looking at me going, what can I do for you to get a reward? And it worked pretty well. He was pretty excited about it once he got it. It took him like 15 minutes to get it, though. His bulb's not as bright as Scooter's.
Well, see, part
well,
of the problem...
Scooter was starving. Well, so he's like, treat, treat.
And part of the problem is that poor Nigel's been emasculated by the terror pony. Aww. So he's feeling no power at all right now. Just runs in terror every time the pony's around. So that hasn't helped. Well, you know, we should have given a daily Winnie to somebody that's pretty popular and did something really cool, and that's Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart of the former Daily Show host. If you remember right, we covered a story, and this comes out of my old hometown of New Holland, Pennsylvania. There was a horse that showed up at the New Holland sales stables that was skinny and covered in paint. And what they had determined was it had been shot by at least 100 paintballs. Oh. And then made its way to the New Holland sales stables auction to get auctioned off, and they found
shot
it there.
Shot in the eyes and everything, right?
Yeah, it was bad. So the New Holland sales stables is, I've talked about this story before, but in case you don't know the story or you're a new listener, it's always been known for selling meat horses, and the meat dealers are there, and you know exactly
where
who they are.
Snowman came from.
Yeah, it's where, and that was what, in the 50s, right? So this has been there forever. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I actually, my office for the business we had was outside the parking lot there. So every Monday we'd see all the trucks roll in, and you'd walk up and you'd see all the horses there. There was one guy who took it as a mission. I know him. I actually was friends with him. He was a policeman at the time. His name was Rod Hartman. And Rod was a policeman. He hated what happened at New Holland. Well, he didn't really have the power. He was a lonely street cop in New Holland, a tiny little town, right? And I went a couple ride-alongs with Rod, too. Nothing exciting ever happened, but we'd ride along and talk. And I was in high school then. He was a super nice guy. And he became the judge, the local magistrate. Well, then he had some power, and he took it as his mission to clean up New Holland, the auction, and he did. And he really works at that. Well, when this horse showed up, they arrested Philip Price Jr. For 5 counts. I don't know exactly what the counts were, abuse and all kinds of things. Well, following a trial in New Holland, the 65-year-old guy was convicted of 5 counts and was fined $3,056 and $10,000 in restitution for Lily's recovery care costs. And
they were able to pinpoint that this guy was involved
was the one
with
that
the
brought
shooting?
He was the one that brought the horse in. So, to be sold. I don't know if they pinpointed whether he was involved in the shooting, but he was the one that ultimately brought the horse in, so he was responsible. He's also prohibited from doing future business at the sales stables.
Oh, wow.
So he can be arrested if he shows up. And this is all Rod Hartman still around after all these years causing trouble for the New Holland sales stables. So good on him.
We need to get that guy on the show.
Exactly. Well, you know, I probably could. I could probably give him a call and get him. I don't know if he could come on and talk about what he does there, but I think he would. He's kind of an in-your-face kind of guy.
Well, but, and then reading
yeah,
this...
Yeah, the rest of the story.
Oh, gosh. Are you kidding me? Okay, so Lily, the horse, was then taken from, I guess, over to New Bolton, where Barbaro was taken care of. And there was, I guess, was it $10,000 in vet bills? And she was just adopted. She was just adopted. Tell everybody who adopted her.
Well, that apparently Jon Stewart's wife, Tracy McShane, is a former veterinary technician, kind of like you. And she's an animal advocate. And apparently she went to visit Lily in April and then decided to adopt Lily and bring her home to her farm. She has a farm sanctuary for abused animals in New Jersey. So we should get her on. We should get Tracy McShane on the show.
Let's just call John. I'll get him on the phone.
All right. Yeah. Can you do that? Just give John a call. And see if we can get them on.
And that's what's amazing is that Jon Stewart retires and he goes and starts a farm sanctuary.
You know, he has nothing to do now. He has time to come on the show.
I know. Let's talk to him. No, it's such a cool story that she ended up. And then the fact that because Jon Stewart and his wife adopted Lily, the story goes even more international, you know, so it's just really, really wonderful thing to bring light to the fact that there are people out there taking care of them and saving them. And there's bad people out there doing bad things.
All right, I'm writing it down that we need to get Jon Stewart's wife on the show. All right, so we'll make that a mission.
Yes, we got a couple people. We've got to get on the show now.
Well, you know, my lifetime pony, Piper, who I drove for 15 years, died at the age of 45, came from New Holland.
Really?
Was a New Holland pony I bought for $80. Turned out to be a thoroughly broke Amish pony. Had been an Amish pony before. Thoroughly broke. I think we got that pony when maybe she was in her late teens and kept her for a very long time. And she was the best pony I've ever... She taught me to drive. Every time I would... We knew nothing about driving. Absolutely nothing. We bought a cart and a harness. We didn't know what we were doing. Jennifer had really never driven. And we took the pony out. And every time we'd do something wrong, this pony would throw its head. That's how I knew I was doing it wrong. So I would just keep changing what I was doing until it stopped throwing its head. And when it stopped throwing its head, I figured I was doing it right. So that's how I learned to drive.
No, jerk face. Do this.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. So, yeah. So that's where I got my lifetime pony from New Holland for $80.
$80 champion.
But yeah, I was probably going to go off to the killers too. It didn't end up doing that. Well, let's take a break for our sponsor, and then we're coming back with our horse health segment.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
Hey, Glenn, before you play the bumper, I just want to let you know.
Too late. What's up?
The whole, remember on Friday, I was doing the commercial and I was like, there's those twisty things on the back of helmets that you can, you know, tighten them. Girl forgot her helmet at the clinic, and guess who had a helmet that would fit her? I did, because I had the twisty dial. So there you go. I can't wait to tell Glenn the twisty dial worked.
Did we ever figure out if the twisty dial has a name?
I think it's the twisty dial. Twisty to tighten dial. The helmet or loosen the helmet.
Ask the Ovation people if it actually has an official name. I saw there was a study recently on helmets, and Ovation came up as the second best helmet. They had done all kinds of tests, and it came up as the second best helmet made in the world.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, I know you love your Ovation helmets, and look, you saved that girl's head.
I did.
Yes.
Saved her ride anyway. She would have been able to ride.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And we've got Dr. Wittich on the phone. Good morning, Dr. Wittich.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us again. I guess we didn't scare you off too bad last time.
No, I wasn't frightened away yet.
Okay. We'll work on that today. Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
Now, for those who may not know or didn't hear you on last time, give us a little brief bio.
Okay. I grew up riding horses and showing horses in high school, took my horses to college at University of Findlay in Ohio, and then went down to Texas A&M to do a master's program before returning to Ohio State for my veterinary degree.
Gotcha. And so she now works at Haggard's, and that's, of course, across from the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington. And we have a listener question for you, actually from somebody who lives in Lexington, Kentucky. So I'm sure that as soon as you answer this question, she'll call you and make an appointment.
That would be fabulous.
So Allison asks, I have a 23-year-old warm-blood thoroughbred cross who is still in light work with occasional jumping over low fences. He's in great shape, except for an old hock injury from many years before I got him, making that leg a little stiff. It mostly affects his canter work. He's very rough to the right. He needs to keep working, but I want him to be as comfortable as possible for as long as possible. Given his age and how long ago he was injured, would injecting his hock help? If so, what kind of injection should I try?
So, unfortunately, none of these answers are very black and white. Without looking at the horse, obviously, we can't give direct answers as far as what we think needs to happen. But the best answer I can give is that depending on what the injury is and what the underlying cause of the lameness or his pain is. So with an injury, you can either injure your bone and have arthritic changes, which happen over time, or you can have soft tissue injuries. And so obviously if you have a soft tissue injury with the ligaments and the tendons or the muscle in the area, doing an injection isn't necessarily going to help that joint. But if it is arthritis that is the underlying cause, then injections can definitely help to bring the inflammation down. But unfortunately, once a horse has arthritis, we can't really do much to backtrack and kind of erase the damage that was already done. So injections can help, and especially if the horse has never had them before, you know, we can try to inject them and see how much comfort they're going to get. But without doing, you know, radiographs and finding out what the underlying issue is, we can't say for sure whether that's going to fix the problem or not.
Okay, so let's take the injury out of this. And are you on speaker, by the way, or Bluetooth or anything?
No.
Okay. Sorry, Glenn was asking. So taking the injury out of it, a 23-year-old that you want to keep going, and I'm asking because I have experience with this very successfully, because I had an older horse who was about 23 years old, and he just was really kind of stiff, and I wanted to keep him going, but I had another horse, but I wanted him to like be comfortable. So I got his hocks injected, and I don't know why I didn't know about it or what took me so long. And I took him to a dressage show, and he won high point of the day. So I always attributed that to the hock injection. So a 23-year-old horse in light work, how much do you think hock injections are going to help, and what would you put in, what would the vet do?
Yeah, so they can definitely help. Hock injections are one of the more common things that we do. A lot of people call them maintenance injections, and they'll get them done on competition horses just to make them feel better and to be able to perform better. Again, I think that you need to make sure that the problem is associated with the joint. So obviously having a good veterinarian that can come out and determine that that's what the issue is. But again, if you're injecting every single, you know, 3 months to 4 months, I think that the effect that the injection has goes down. So if you have a 23-year-old horse that doesn't get injected very often and you get the hocks injected, I definitely think it can help them improve. And what we do most of the time is we use HA, hyaluronic acid, which helps to lubricate and cushion the joint. And then we'll use some form of steroid that goes in and takes the inflammation out of the joint and the surrounding area around the joint.
How common is this in a sport horse barn?
Very, very common. A lot of my horses that are showing on a regular basis will get the hocks injected about 6 months to every year. I personally don't like to inject them more frequently than 6 months, because long-term steroid use in consistently in joints can actually have a negative effect on the cartilage in the joint. So we just try to be careful about how frequently we do it.
And is there a negative to injecting the hocks?
Yes, there's always concerns when you inject joints. You can have a joint flare, meaning anytime we put something into a joint, it's a foreign substance. And so they can have inflammation associated with what we put in the joint. That's not very common, but it is a concern. Obviously, an infection of the joint is always a risk when you put a needle in a joint. And again, the veterinarian that you choose is very important for that as well, because using good sterile technique is very important. That will obviously decrease the chance of having infections associated with the injection. And then again, just long-term, there are certain steroids that are worse for cartilage and certain steroids that are more protective of cartilage. And so just being aware of that when you put steroid in a joint is also very important.
Now, injecting a joint, say a fetlock, is that different than injecting a hock?
No. Fetlock joint is the exact same as a hock joint. The only difference is that fetlock is what we call a high motion joint. So it's like your shoulder where it has very wide range of motion versus like our ankle is very similar to a hock where there's not a high range of motion. There's more of a solid impact.
Okay. So is there more risk associated with injecting a fetlock versus injecting a hock?
No.
And so basically if I have to inject the fetlock and I have to inject the hock on two different horses, there's nothing bad can happen. I mean, as far as putting the medication into the fetlock versus putting medication into a hock, it's not going to have any negative effect on either joint aside from.
No. Yeah. So the same risk would apply to both. It's basically a generalized issue with joint injections in general. With hock joints, because they are a low motion joint, we're more willing to use stronger steroids such as Decomedrol that can have more deleterious effects on the cartilage. And then we tend to use more steroids like triamcinolone or betamethasone in high motion joints. But that's not okay. necessarily a risk. That's just being able to choose what steroid you use based on what the joint is going to do.
Okay, so even though it's high motion, you would just tweak the dry. So if you have to inject a fetlock, it's not like a downward spiral.
No, absolutely not. I think finding the joint that is the primary issue and treating that joint is going to get you the best effect. Often we have horses that are a little bit off behind or stiff, and so you just think you need to inject the hocks and move on. And sometimes that's not the primary problem. And so I think that finding the specific joint that needs the medication is more important than being concerned about what joint you're injecting.
So how would one decide that, oh my goodness, I think I need to inject my horse's hocks. What would lend you to make that assumption as a horse owner?
Most people, I think, we call stabby hocks. So if they get a little bit sharp and stabby with their hind legs, or they kind of stick their legs out to the side, I get calls a lot of times for people with that if horses aren't sitting down. So in a lot of our competition horses, dressage horses, jumping horses, they have a hard time flexing their pelvis underneath them and sitting down in their hind end. And so those are kind of questions that I get. But again, you can have that with any hind end problem. So, you know, an Orwin Wright thinks that it's hocks, but on flexion exams and palpations, we find out that their stifles or their SI need injecting instead. So it's just really important to have a veterinarian come in and be able to assess that and find the primary cause of the issue.
So you would be able to tell with flexions or grabbing at palpations.
Yes, exactly. I think palpations are the primary thing that I personally use. I touch a lot of horses and I feel a lot of horses' legs, and you would be surprised at how many times just feeling the joints and feeling the soft tissues, how many times you can find things just doing that. And then the flexions obviously help us isolate out what the primary problem is.
Excellent. So is there an age that, last question and then we'll let you go. Is there an age that you would say, don't do this, is too young, or it's time to do it, it's a certain age? Is there like kind of a baseline for age that you would start injecting joints?
So there's not really a baseline for age. I think it's more in the amount of work they're doing and when they're doing it. Obviously, I personally don't like injecting younger horses. I think that younger horses, if they are having issues with their joints, they either need time off or potentially something like Adequan or Legend that is a systemic drug that can help them out without going into the joint specifically. But again, we have race horses that start racing at 2 or 3, and we have quarter horses that are showing very heavily at 3. And so sometimes we have to tweak those recommendations. But I personally try not to inject anything that's under probably 5 years.
Under 5 years old. Oh my gosh, this has been such great information. We ran out of time. I could have kept going.
I think I need to get my hocks injected.
You probably do. And that's
another request from owners to inject things too.
Yeah, I bet.
I was gonna say, do you do that with people? I mean, not you, but like, do doctors use injecting joints like horses?
Yeah. And that's actually the funny thing. They definitely do in sports medicine with people, and they're much more lax about sterile technique in people too. So that always fascinates me.
Well, I guess they're not standing on a barn floor doing it. So
exactly. And they don't have the hair to contend with either.
Yeah, probably not. Well, fantastic. Wait, that one more question. Would you recommend before you inject a joint, do you shave the area, or is it, does that mess it up even more? Does that make too many changes in the joint?
So there were a couple studies that came out fairly recently that show that when you shave the hair, you actually create those tiny little hair clippings, and those can go in with your needle into the joint.
So
it's not actually recommended that you shave. But if the horse has excessively long hair or is so dirty that you can't get it clean without shaving, then we can definitely do that.
All right. But a horse that's that dirty should not be getting hawk injections.
You would be surprised.
I bet I would.
Very, very surprised.
Hi, my horse just rolled in the mud. I need some joint injections. Yeah. Stick a needle through that dirt and hair. Yeah, that'd be great.
Can you get through the mud, please?
We have given mild baths before injecting before. We definitely have.
I would imagine. Well, Dr. Wittich, thank you so much. Of course, with Haggard Equine, and the website is? That's you. That's your cue. What's the website for Haggard?
I believe it's just haggardequine.com.
That's correct. That's correct. Yep.
Okay, haggardequine.com. And thank you so much, Dr. Wittich, and we can't wait to have you on again.
Great. Thank you guys for having me.
And I'll send Allison your phone number, so she's going to call you so you can come and do some radiographs of her horse's hock.
Perfect. That sounds good.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Actually, and I did, it's haggard.com. It's just haggard.com.
I didn't know what it was, but I knew. I didn't think it was Haggard.
Let's hear more about that, and then we're going to continue the health topic with Tammy Surrant, of course, our good friend Tammy. And she's coming on to talk about something really gross. So I'll start this conversation, but I may have to bow out because you know how Tammy likes to gross me out. So we'll be right back with that. Oh, I don't seem to have it. So we're going to go right to Tammy. It is haggard.com is where you can find it. And all of the information is on there as far as contacting them to get them out to your place. Well, now we're going to head over to our good friend, Tammy Surrant. She is back with us. And Tammy, you know, I love chatting with you, except for yesterday. When Tammy's like, I could come on the show and I could give you a horse health segment on something I've been through with one of my horses. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be great, until she sends me the pictures. And then I'm like, oh, God, do we have to talk about that? But apparently we do. Hi, Tammy.
Hi. I actually love Haggard. I actually went on a tour at Haggard because they're our official veterinarian at Road to the Horse.
And, oh, that's right. Yeah.
I was lucky enough to get a tour. Yeah. So a very cool place. I mean, I'm not sure how often they give tours, but very, very cool place to go, and very, very wonderful group of veterinarians. So, yeah, lucky me, huh?
Lucky you. Not so lucky with your horse. So tell us, which horse was it?
A brand new horse. Yeah, lucky me.
Of course.
It was a very, very interesting case for me because, and the funny thing was, like, and I don't want a bunch of hate emails, but I'm not a paint horse fan. I'm not. I like the plain red wrapper sorrel horse, not a lot of white. That's my favorite kind of horse, you know, just kind of blend in kind of horse. And this is actually a paint horse, and she's a bay roan, and she's kind of different, and she's kind of not something that I was drawn to. But my friends are like, you got to look at this horse, and she's awesome, and she's all this and a bag of chips. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm open-minded, you know. So I went and got her and actually vetted her, and I wouldn't say she passed the vet check, but they said that she had a little bit of strain in her upper left suspensory, but with good shoeing, she's totally manageable. You know, that was kind of the outcome. So I thought, hey, that's I got a pretty awesome farrier, so I can manage that. But what came after that was the most bizarre thing that I'd ever seen. It was kind of like a case of lameness that would come and go, and like an abscess, but not an abscess, but no swelling in the suspensory, and It was just, you know, four vets later, one was, it was white line, one was its soft tissue, one was its, what was that, white line disease. I mean, I had everything thrown at me. I mean, I spent money on injections, and anyway, the thing that it came down to was a cancerous keratoma tumor in P3, the little triangle bone in the foot, which is quite rare. But so that's kind of the diagnosis I had, but I had never seen a tumor come into the hoof like that before. So yeah, lucky for me. So my choices were do surgery and take it out. And it's funny because, you know, as horse people, we're always like, you know, the hoof and the bone, and the vet said to me, we'll take it out. You know, and I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, so that's what we did. We went in and we took...
Which basically means cutting a part of the hoof out, right?
Yeah. We went in, and actually when we went in, we first thought the diagnosis was different. We thought it was a bone infection of P3, and we were removing the infected bone. But when we went in, the tissue was actually a tumor type tissue, so that changed our plans instantly. So we just kind of kept removing, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I actually had to walk out a couple of times. I've got a pretty strong stomach, Glenn.
Yeah, I know you do. You're much tougher than I am.
I do, because I said to the surgeon, I was like, yeah, I want to stay, and I want to, the only thing, the blood and all that stuff doesn't bother me. The thing that I couldn't stand is, he said, we'll keep removing bone until we hit bone that sounds like concrete. You know, when it's soft, we'll take it out. When it's hard, that means we got good stuff and we leave it in. So when you hit good stuff, you know, the nail going down the blackboard?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it sounded like. So I left. I was like,
when you were talking, you kept saying, we went in and we took this. You actually were there. Like, you were like part of me.
They
and then
let
we
me.
Became a mouse in his pocket.
Yeah, we became him.
I have a question. How on earth did they diagnose this? Was it radiographs? Was it ultrasound? How exactly does one diagnose that?
And this is the great thing, because and it's also the frustrating thing, and that's the thing I wanted to tell Glenn about, because the thing was, they wanted to send this horse to an MRI, and they wanted to do all these things, and the only reason I found out what this was God bless my amazing farrier, because he said, Tammy, this foot is growing different, this foot is contracting, this foot is, he's the one that really pinpointed where the problem was when the vets kind of didn't. And he's the one that sent me to the surgeon, and I could have spent thousands more trying to work out what it was. So he's the one that kind of worked out where it was. And the first vet took a radiograph that showed a blemish, but he didn't think that was a problem. Then the good surgeon that the farrier sent me to took a different angle of the same blemish, and it was completely different. And it was amazing that the same little blemish on one x-ray that didn't look like a big deal on another angle could look like a disaster. And I sent Glenn the x-ray where you could see.
We'll post that. Jennifer, go ahead and post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, because you did a great graph to show the progression there, too, and the radiograph.
So thanks to, you know, a different type of radiograph, we were able to see the outline of the tumor in the hoof. So, you know, in all my research about this, those tumors are in a minute. If you have a horse that has lameness and then goes and then comes and goes and you can't work it out. And I mean, this is one of those really bizarre, rare things that really can only be cured with removal. And the cancer doesn't spread out of that capsule. So if you can get all of the tumor out, you can save the horse.
What's the prognosis for the horse after that? I mean, you're showing us pictures where there's this huge chunk cut out of the front of the horse's hoof. Does that all grow back? I mean, it's a huge chunk almost up, you know, it's almost up to the top. What happens now?
Yeah, it's gonna grow back. The bone's not gonna grow back, but it's only taken about 2 weeks for the inside of that foot where we removed a chunk of T3 to fill in with granulated tissue, which I think is really quite amazing that the body is able to do that. So the foot is no longer hollow where that tumor was, and it's filled in. But the bone won't grow back. So if you radiograph this horse in 6 months, you're still going to see a circle there where the tumor was. The bone's not going to fill in. But as the new hoof grows, a new hoof will take about 9 months to grow. The horse should go back sound. It's not sound now, but it can actually walk quite well, and it can actually be turned out in a really small trap. It's wrapped up in a bandage, and it's got a Cavalla boot on it, and it's, you know, in polo wraps, but it's not even on Butte, Glenn. That's what is so amazing about the horse's body, you know?
Hmm.
This is a mare, mind you. If this was my gelding, he would be crying in the corner. He would be like, "Mom, we're out of cookies."
We're known for that, us geldings. So now this horse's hoof basically it has a big chunk out of the middle, which means there's two pieces to either side, right? Did you put a shoe on it to kind of hold it together?
Yeah, what happened, and that's a good point, and that's what was starting to happen, when you cut the middle section of the foot out, you ended up with a cow foot, you know,
right,
where you split all the way up the middle. So it was spreading out. So my amazing farrier, who's in Stephenville, Texas, made the shoe, and it looks like it's got two clips on the sides, and it's got a full hospital plate down the bottom, so nothing can come up down the bottom. It's got a welded. It's all got, you know, got a full stuff down the bottom, but it stops the foot from expanding at the bottom. So it keeps it together while it grows nicely from the top. And it's really interesting that when it was growing before, it kind of had a lump where that tumor was, and it really was growing weird right there. And now the last 3 weeks past surgery, it's actually growing perfectly from the coronet band after the tumor has been removed. So when you run your fingers around it, the hoof is growing perfectly normal now. So, the horse is on Platinum Performance, and it's on some hoof supplements and stuff like that. I mean, I've got this horse on. I'm helping it all I can.
Will you be able to use this horse, or is it going to be a pasture ornament from this point on, or will eventually be able to ride it again?
Well, I'm hoping I'll be able to ride it again. You know, this was a nice shooting horse, and the people that sold me the horse, I've only had 6 rides on the horse. They did not know. They really honestly didn't know when they bought it to me. I had the option to take the horse back, but I, not claiming Mother Teresa, but I want to do whatever's right by the horse. And I felt like this was the right thing to do by the horse, because the horse was crippled because of pressure in the hoof. And nothing was going to remove that pressure by removing the tumor. And someone had to do that, whether that's me or whether that's... And I felt like I could give the horse such a good quality of care that it was up to me to do it, you know?
Well, good for you.
Oh,
good
my
for you,
gosh,
girl.
I love you more.
Give
that's
you a
amazing
round of applause, Tammy.
that begs the question.
The vet said to me, "You gotta love this horse." And I said, "I don't know, but I am teaching a trick."
So, Tammy, as the husband in my ear is talking to me. He's not here, but this is what he would say is, how much did this cost, and was the horse insured?
Next question. the horse was expensive. And the horse was not insured. Because, you know, and that's something I've really battled with, because, you know, when you have 4 or 5 horses that are worth, you know, between $5,000 and $10,000, do you insure them, or do you self-insure yourself and say, "Hey, I'm going to lose one maybe every 5 or 10 years, and am I paying the same amount to insure them? You know, that's a really hard question. And I've gone through phases where I've insured them all, and then I've gone through phases where I've kind of self-insured myself, you know. Mm-hmm. I've probably spent, you know, around $5,000 saving this horse. And I'm good with that because I think it's what you do, you know, when you have horses, if you can do that, you know. But, you know, I want to? No, no one wants that build.
But that would have been 3 years of insuring all your horses, or 2 years maybe of insuring all your horses.
Yeah.
So I think it works out in the end. And honestly, I thought you were going to say $20,000 you spent. Like a bargain.
That's what I thought.
You know the difference, though? Tammy doesn't have the husband saying those things over her shoulder. Exactly. She doesn't have that problem.
You know what? Like, if you love horses, you'll do whatever it takes. And the old owner, actually, he has no obligation to me. But he is an amazing man. He's actually came out and visited this horse. He's actually came and sent money to help support this horse.
Oh, wow. That says a lot right there.
That's a stand-up family.
Yep.
And they sure didn't have to, you know, and they appreciated everything I've done for this horse. They've called me in tears saying, I can't believe I didn't know that something was wrong with this horse. So, you know, maybe this horse and I will bond so much over this. We'll go win the world in 5 years. You know, I'm all up for fairy tales.
Tammy, well, we're going to post, we'll post that. Tammy's put some pictures of the progression too, since the hoof has started to heal. So we'll post that. And besides, all these friends of mine post gross horse pictures that I have to hit hide because it grosses
you
me out.
Now we got
one to post for them. So it's revenge time. Yeah. It'll be on our horses in the morning.
I'm an avid photographer. So every 2 days when I take all the dressings off and clean it and wrap it, and I do take pictures every 2 days because I want to look back and I'm going to make a movie or I'm going to do something or check some vet school might want them or they'll be good for somebody. So, yeah.
Yeah, don't hang it on the wall, Tammy, or I'm not coming to visit, okay? Just saying. Tammy, real quick before we have to go here, we have to get overseas with Victoria. What's going on with Road to the Horse? Anything we need to know about at this point? Yeah.
Yes. Yep. If you want anything from roadtothehorse.com shopping, the next week is the way to go, Glenn. We do have free shipping. So I've been doing a lot of web work the last couple of days. Anything over $140, free shipping anywhere, like anywhere. Like if you live Antarctica, you live Africa, you live in England, we will ship it for free. So you can get your 2016 DVDs, T-shirts, all kind of new stuff online. And then tickets are up for next year, and it's all cowgirls, no cowboys. Sarah Winner's Dorson, Richard Winner's daughter is competing, and Chris Cox's wife is competing for the first time. So it's going to be super cool to have her in the arena for the first time and kind of see how she goes, because I've never seen her start any colts, but I know she's going to do a phenomenal job. They're both Sarah Dorson and Barbara Cox are both reined cow horse competitors as well. So it's going to be a first-class competition for the World Championships of Colt Studding. So that's Lexington, Kentucky, March. But for now, Glenn, just shop, unless you're like me and got a lot of vet bills.
And what kind of things can you get in the store?
Oh, you know what? I just put some, this morning actually, I put some cool little bags out. But, you know, the things I like on there, we put some cool jackets, T-shirts. The DVD, though, is going to be really cool from the event. That gets released in June, and we've had a lot of discussion about the footage and stuff that's in there, and it's really well shot. We've got some great videographers, so the footage that's coming from the event is just first class. So I am super excited to see it myself. It's going to be delivered in June. You can order it now, pre-order it. So now's the time to do it with the free shipping.
And what's the website again? Is it roadtothehorse.com, right?
Yeah, roadtothehorse.com. And then click on the shop button on the top right-hand side. And, free shipping Memorial Day sale for the next week.
Okay.
But it should be a good deal, Glenn.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, Tammy, for stopping by and letting everybody know what a, you even had Jennifer stumped, what a keratoma tumor is. Now,
I had no idea what it was, but... Yeah.
Well, now we know.
But
and thank God for good farriers, right? I mean, thank God for a good farrier.
You know what? I love that. I love that farrier.
Well, give him a plug. Say his name.
Tiny Birch. He's from Stephenville, Texas, and he's actually kept my pony sound for years. He's my good horse of farrier, and he's just a phenomenal man.
You know what? I bet you if you Google Tiny in Texas, you're going to... I don't know what you'll get, but...
you probably have a lot of people.
Thank you, Tammy. We appreciate you stopping by. Good to hear from
you
again.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Bye. Tiny in Texas. There's none of them, I'm sure. He's the only one, that farrier. Well, we are going to hopefully be getting to Victoria from Horse and Country TV here in a minute. But first, I thought, well, you know what? This horse had a guardian angel in Tammy who was willing to put in the time and the money to help it out. So I thought, what better song than Templeton Thompson with Guardian Angel? We'll be right back after this.
She could have passed for a cowboy, the way she carried herself. And that 50 pounds of leather, put it up on that pony, light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins. And we started out walking, up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come a time, and she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. I remember what she told me, it's as clear as a bell as it was on that morning. It was kind of like a blessing and a warning. It on to my daughter. She loads up her car, heads out of the driveway. She'll have had enough of doing things my way. It'll be her turn to fly, and I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get rattled, sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never faster than your guardian angel can fly. And ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. Yeah, yeah, now don't be in a hurry, you're feeling when you hit your stride. So don't get mad, sit deep in the saddle, remember
That was Templeton Thompson, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by our auditors. Thank you very much. Ann Haggard's and Ovation are involved as well. And we've got our dear friend from across the pond, Victoria. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic. How was your weekend?
It was good. I went to Gibraltar, which is a very funny place at the bottom of Spain. So, we had a wedding.
You know, it's so weird for us Americans to hear, oh, I just went to Gibraltar for the weekend. You know, that's just weird to hear. Because for us, that's like a week trip. You know?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's about a 2.5-hour flight, so it wasn't very long.
Not bad at all. Yeah, not bad at all.
What do I know about Gibraltar is they have a lot of rocks. Am I right?
They have a rock. Big
rock. Just one big giant one. It's okay. Absolutely huge and not a lot else. But it's quite a funny place. It's like a British part of Spain. And so Britain commandeered it years ago. And so Gibraltar is British and just across the borders into Spain. And so you have to go through customs and passport control just to go into Spain. Very odd.
You don't realize, Glenn, when you're looking at a map of the world, how close those countries are, you know.
I like how she just said, and that's a little part that the British took over half the world. We let's not forget that there, Victoria.
Yeah, they were good at that.
Well, what's going on Horse and Country TV?
Oh, well, we're hugely excited about the premiere of our new series, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, called the Blue Chip All-Star Academy. And I've just watched the first episode, just the kind of rough cut, and it's super exciting. It's like The Apprentice meets Pony Club Camp. So I can't wait to watch it. So that's been my main focus this week. And the rest of them.
Now, and when you say what does Blue Chip mean? Is that
Blue Chip is a feed maker over here in the UK. So they're the sponsors of the show. And so the show is the Blue Chip All-Star Academy.
Gotcha. Okay. So it'd be like over here, the Neutrina or Purina All-Star Academy. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So they came on board as our title sponsors. And we basically held open auditions, which we did have some people saying, can they apply from America? Which we thought it's a bit of a trek to bring your horse over for 3 days of filming in the UK. And somebody also said, are you going to film any segments in Southern California? Which I replied, sadly not.
Yeah, I would love to go.
It's a bit of a stretch. So we held open auditions. We had about 130 people apply to be on the show, which, considering it was quite short notice and you had to be available on certain dates and be able to get you and your horse to a certain part of the country, we were really impressed by the response. And then we had to whittle it down to 8 people, which was a nightmare. And because loads of them were really, really good. And then, a few weeks back, we went and we filmed the show and they competed. They did riding and stable management and various horse care tasks. And then they got judged. And then, the winners were announced at the end of the show.
Now, I always didn't wonder, because this is kind of your show, you're putting it together. Are you involved in the editing process, or because of what you said earlier in the show, do you actually get involved in that? Or do you end up just seeing it at the end going, oh, that was pretty cool how they did that?
I have just watched the whole section, so I kind of look out for stuff that isn't right or needs to be fixed, and so I'll do that for all the episodes. So luckily we've got a really good production team who's a lady called Lizzie Greenwood Hughes, a very experienced producer and presenter, and she does lots of, she's done coverage from badminton and other big events like that, and she's worked for the British Broadcasting Corporation, so she's really experienced. And so she was director and producer, and she had her own film crew, and so now it's their job to edit it, and we just get to see the finished package and make a few amends at the last moment.
Got it. I was wondering about that. I was wondering if you were involved, sitting there with the editors doing, do this, do that. That's actually the director's producer's job then.
If you have a huge crew, it would be the editor, but Lizzie's Lizzie is editing it as well as having produced and directed it in true horse and country style. So, yeah.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about you. You know, Kate Middleton is obviously taking over for Diana in the hearts of the world, right?
Indeed.
But then there's a second royal in England that is right in there with her, and that's Charlotte Desjardins, who is kind of our royalty, right, in the horse world. She's kind of become the queen, you know, the princess of the horse world, and she's in the news again with her buddy Carl Hester.
Yes, indeed. It's been announced that both of them are going to be competing at Bullsworth International, which is a pretty new show. It's only been around for a couple of years, and it's gone from strength to strength, and it's become one of the kind of main fixtures in Britain. And now they've got a dressage competition. And so, yeah, Charlotte and Carl will be in action. So be a good place to see them just before the Olympics.
Now, all of us in the horse world know who she is. And, you know, she's kind of the as I said, the princess of the horse world. Is she known to the general populace over there in England?
We have a game show over here called Pointless, where you have to give obscure answers, and every time they say London 2012 gold medalist Charlotte Desjardins is a pointless answer. So I think in the horse world she's so super famous, and I'm sure she can just go around her business and nobody bothers her at all. I remember, like, when I went to Babington a few weeks ago, we stay with this great couple who've got a house just on the edge of Babington Park, and they rent out rooms for the event. And they told us that they went on holiday and met a lady called Mary King, and they were chatting away to her. And she said, you know, they said, "Oh, and what do you do?" And Mary said, "Oh, I ride horses." And she didn't mention that she's been to, I think, 5 Olympic Games. That, you know, she's
I ride
done.
Horses.
So, yeah, yeah. They're all pretty laid back about it, and I think they get used to the non-horsey public not really knowing who they are.
They probably like that. At least they can still go out in public. You know, Kate doesn't have that privilege. So,
no. No. True.
Now, just in the vein of Charlotte, she just did a clinic here in the United States in Portland, Oregon, and everybody was just blown away by, number one, just kind of how blunt she is and how personable she is. But I guess she was telling them, like, you need to kick your horse for a little yeehaw. And she actually told one girl to kick. She was like, "Kick your horse. Weren't you in pony club? You're scrubbing, not kicking. Get him moving." And she's like, "Round does not mean slow. Changes should be bigger than the canter, and short reins win gold medals."
One of the things you gotta love Charlotte.
I love it. It was so great. She did a clinic like called Through the Levels, and she did lots of different levels of the clinic. And one of the things that she told everybody, she was like, "You know, you want a nice forward walk. You want to relax here. You got to work with the canter." She's like, "But the trot, I can teach."
Well, that's reassuring. Reassuring, yeah. For us all.
Yeah, exactly. Charlotte can teach our horses to trot.
Yep.
Now, you just finished badminton, and now we're on looking ahead to Burley.
Exactly. Yeah, the box office is already open, so it's quite exciting because it's again very close after Rio, so I wonder who'll be coming over. I wonder if Miko Jung, having won last year's Burley and just won the Rolex Grand Slam, is he going to come back to try and defend?
And we'll have
title?
Just won the gold at Rio.
Yeah.
So I mean,
there's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, just
there?
Take a couple of days
win.
Off there, buddy.
But it'd be weird if he wasn't at Burley. I hope he does come. And it would be quite funny if he won the Rolex Grand Slam again. It wouldn't even surprise me. He's insanely good. And what's worse is that the German team is insanely good as well. And so I can't see them not having double gold. I would fall off my horse if it doesn't happen.
Don't say that.
So basically, if he wins the Rolex Grand Slam again, are they like, "I'm sorry, you already won it"?
Yeah.
Like,
no, $350,000 for you. We're taking it back.
Yeah. You already did it.
I mean,
one and
they
done.
Probably didn't even consider the possibility of that happening, because obviously top horses don't stay that consistency for that long, whereas Miko Jung's, all his horses are ridiculous. So yeah. They probably didn't even consider the option. Like, I don't think Pippa Pippa Funnel won a four-star event since she won the Grand Slam. I don't think she has.
You know, Pippa's interesting. That is an interesting study, actually, because she kind of even, I mean, as far as international, being known internationally, she just kind of went out of the limelight for a long time.
Yeah, she did. And, you know, she's still sort of competing up through the level. Yeah, exactly. She's still competing up through the levels. But she is obviously married to William Funnel, who is a top show jumper. And they work at a place called the Billy Stud, and they're breeding sport horses, and Williams competed some of them at top level. And so I think Pippa competes a lot of the younger horses and does a lot of show jumping as well as eventing. So I don't think she's got quite the same string that she used to have back in the Rolex Grand Slam days.
And I see, I was looking at Horse and Country TV, and I see one of the ads for Rudel Rides with Sir Mark Todd. So
yeah, that's going on Saturday. Can't wait. So, she's so lucky. And I can't remember if I told you guys.
This is Jenny Rudel. This is your counterpart there.
My taller, blonder, posher counterpart. That's Jenny. And we do get called the twins, which is much more flattering to me than to her. she went to Mark Todd's. It was all set up, and Mark was like, "I'll ride one of my top horses, and you can ride a 5-year-old." And then she got there, and he's like, "Oh, you might as well ride Leonidas, who is was the second highest ranked horse in the world last year." And Jenny got to ride him.
Oh wow! Did she do cross country and the whole thing, or did they just go out for a hack?
They literally go out for a hack. They do a bit of cantering and stuff. So and then she's chatting to them while they're riding. So it's
world champion. Just let's go for a hack. You can ride my world champion.
Can't be bad.
That kind of stuff never happens to us. That's
me.
It only happens to the tall blonde girls. All right. Before we let you go, I have to bring up something else. Now, Downton Abbey, you know, Highclere Castle became so famous and then became this huge tourist attraction. I don't know if it still is now that Downton Abbey's off. I'm sure it is. We just finished watching, and it's the fourth year, and it's all done now over here in the United States, Selfridges, the show Selfridge about the department store. Did that get a resurgence after this series started?
I haven't really heard much about it, so no. I mean, Selfridges is a pretty established department store. It's on Oxford Street, so the busiest shopping street in London. And so,
have you ever bought anything, or have you ever been able to afford to buy anything at Selfridges?
Well, when I first moved to London, when I was a young thing of 23, and I worked at the Jockey Club, which was the administrative side of racing. So I got to spend my internship at the Jockey Club, and it was opposite Selfridges. So I used to go in there and like browse on my lunch hour and not buy things very often, but I would definitely do a lot of browsing, and I always got lost in Selfridges, and even now if I go back I still get lost. It's too confusing. There's like different layers. It's not like a normal, it's not like the USA is just more like logical than Britain. Like if you look at your cities, they're all kind of on grid shapes, whereas ours are just a mass of roads that don't go anywhere. So I think our shops are the same.
Well, when we come over to England, we're definitely going to have to go to Selfridges. We'll meet you there, okay?
Yeah. All right, you can add it to your very busy itinerary of all the stately homes.
Of all the castles we're going to have to see, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Victoria. Horseandcountry.tv is where you can find her. She's here every Wednesday with us, and we truly do appreciate it.
Oh, well, I love coming on. It was great to chat to you.
All right. Take care, Victoria. All of my British shows that we enjoy are ending. They all ended this year. Downton Abbey and Selfridges are done. So I don't know this to watch anymore. I have to find new things that aren't British.
I haven't seen any of those, so
I have to find new non-British shows to watch.
There will be more. Now, I just want to let you know, I'm going to have to go because apparently in my house right now, because Daddy's gone and Mom is the only one here, apparently I'm having a child that's having a meltdown because he wants ice cream for breakfast. So
it's the important things, right?
This is ridiculous. I've had to get up and I'm like, "Oh, Glenn, cover me. I'll be back." I keep chatting to him because I keep having to go out and be like, "No, you cannot have ice cream for breakfast." Why am I having this discussion with an almost 3-year-old?
Well, go take care of that. I'll finish up the show and we'll see you on Friday for really bad ads.
No, he does not get ice cream for breakfast. I am not getting him ice cream for breakfast.
All right, got it.
God. Ridiculous.
Could you get ice cream for breakfast? That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, of course, we eat soy ice cream.
Oh no! Okay, I take it back. I have to drink. I have to drink. I drink soy milk, so
that's bad enough. Yeah. I'm an almond milk. I hear him screaming. So tell everybody real quick about the pictures that you're putting on your wall and what the reason is for.
Oh, yeah, real quick. We're doing, and you could post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning this Friday. When you come back on Friday, everybody will be here. We are having a film crew here that's doing a documentary on podcasting. So there will be a film crew filming us doing our thing here on the show on Friday. So
I'll hire a babysitter.
And wear your best, your best outfit.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah, because we'll have to put you on video so they can see you.
Really?
Well, how else are they going to see you? I'll have to put you on video so they can see who you are.
I'm not doing that. No way.
So we'll be doing this.
It's not
show.
In my agreement. I get to be in my pajamas, dear God. I get up at 4:45. I'm not getting dressed.
So I thought it would be a good idea to. Well, then it'll be. That's what podcasting is, right there. It's perfect. It just shows what the real life of a podcaster
in
her pajamas.
No glossing over here. It's the real life.
It's the real life of podcasting. You were there in your pajamas, your Mickey Mouse pajamas.
Eyeliner.
So your hair is all over the place. Yep, that's what we need. So I thought I'd have this brilliant idea. I will make a wall of our listeners, and I'll print out pictures of them and their horses. And I started with the auditor page, and. Well, there's a reason I haven't posted it on the Horses in the Morning page. It's because there were 100 auditors that posted their pictures, and I got to print these all out. So I had to buy extra ink, and it's going to take up my...
I sent in like 10 pictures.
Yeah, you might have sent in a few. And I'm going to post them on our wall so that they will be able to film the listeners on my auditor wall. And we'll also put listeners up there who are not auditors. So if you want to put your picture, it has to be of you and your horse, preferably a selfie if you can do it, on our Horses in the Morning page, and we'll post them all up there. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And it'll remind me every day of who's listening. So that's what's happening on Friday. So that should be fun. I will also do a Facebook Live video of them videoing us. So I'll do that on Friday. Okay.
Okay.
So we'll do a Facebook Live of them videoing us, and then of Jamie in her pajamas. We'll get that in there too.
God, this is enough work already. Now I got to get done up. How am I going
to... The idea is you don't get done up. We want to see the real you as you appear every morning.
Like being on TV like that, you must be crazy.
This is the reason we all do radio. All right, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Horse Husbands, and then Friday we'll be back. We need some ads for really bad ads. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And we pick a winner this week? Or is it next week?
We do.
Oh, we pick a winner tomorrow or Friday? Oh, good. So we'll pick a winner of the smooth dried jeans, and then we'll announce what the next prize is for next month. So,
you know something, you're right. It is next week. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was a week ahead.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm thinking towards the future.
Well, that means you still have a week to get in for the smooth stride jeans.
That means you have extra time to get your ads in. Because remember, people, pick out your best bad ad. And sometimes we get so many bad ads, we can't fit them all in a given week. So even if your ad doesn't make it to the air this time around, you are still in the running.
That's right. It's everybody that submits an ad, even if they don't make it to air. So definitely get your bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line. I think that's about it.
All right,
Let's
everybody.
Call it a
have
day.
A great day. Spay, neuter, geld. I'm going to go not give my child ice cream.
Ice cream for breakfast? Chocolate syrup?
I mean, like he's having a meltdown in the other room.
Maybe dad gives him ice cream when you're not around.
I think I know what's going on now.